Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It is an honor to be able to deliver the message to all of you again today. I appreciate the opportunity. And if you don't recognize me, I am a member of this congregation. I just shed my winter coat, slicking off for spring. I'm very glad to be here today. I have to tell all of y'all, though, watch out for Jay Baldwin, because I know he peeked in my notes, because the introduction to his prayer was verbatim the introduction to my sermon today. Today is Easter, and it's a time of the year when most of the Christian world traditionally celebrates the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have no commandment or example within the Scriptures to celebrate as any one particular day of the life of Christ as particular. Some people choose to downplay the religious significance because it's no scriptural commandment. Others choose to use the opportunity to take advantage of that and spread the news. In Romans chapter 14, verse 5, Paul said, "One person esteems one day is better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind." And so whether you do celebrate this special or not, be convinced in your own mind, and whatever you do, do it for the glory of God. And to be sure, we're here this morning to fulfill the Scriptures. We are commanded to meet on the first day of the week. We do commemorate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ every Sunday through the Lord's Supper, which we've had, and through singing songs and hymns to God and to Jesus as are their due. And so we are here today, and I'm very glad to be able to deliver the message to you today. I'm going to be talking to you from the book of Romans, so if you want to turn there to Romans chapter 3, we're going to start out in Romans. I am studying Romans for a Bible class that I'm going to be going to this summer and teaching, and Romans is my favorite book. It is a book of good news, a positive message, a book of victory, and it has been called the encapsulation of Christianity, because the whole of Christian life is laid out by Paul in very simple and clear instructions, and he gives a lot of clarification on some very critical aspects of Christian theology. And Romans is packed full of these quotable nuggets that we're going to cover many of those today. Now, the message of Romans is two-sided. On the one hand, there is no righteousness apart from God. Whether you are a Jew or a Gentile, rich or poor, handsome or ugly, smart or simple-minded, it doesn't matter. You cannot obtain salvation outside of Jesus Christ. And so that is an awesome and fearful condition for humanity to be in. There is no salvation other than through our Lord Jesus Christ. On the other hand, the message of Romans is that salvation that we need is freely available to everyone through our Lord Jesus Christ. Whether you are Jew or Gentile, rich or poor, handsome or ugly, smart or simple-minded, it doesn't matter. That is offered to all of humanity. In chapter 3, verses 21 through 25, Paul lays out this simple message of the gospel. And this passage is considered the key passage of the New Testament by many, because he makes very clearly how we are all lost and yet all justified through Jesus. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 through 25. "But now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed. 26. To demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and be the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus." And so we see that everyone needs God's grace, for everyone has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And yet at the same time, everyone has access to God's grace through Jesus Christ. And so all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and yet all can come to God. There is no one who can buy themselves out of hell or work their way into heaven. In chapter 5, verse 20, Paul says that where sin increased, grace increased all the more. In other words, God's grace is greater than our sin. God's grace is greater than all sin. The more a person sins or has sinned, the more grace is available to him or her to grant them salvation if they accept it. Now, salvation is available if they accept it. And that's a wonderful power of God, that His grace is sufficient for every one of us, regardless of how evil we may be or how bad of a life we may be. Now, there is a danger in using that all-sufficient grace as a license to sin. And in fact, at Paul's time, and even in today's time, Paul preached against that form of teaching. In chapter 3, verse 8, he said that people were beginning to say, "Let us do evil that good may result." And Paul says their condemnation is deserved. He goes on to preach that it is not because of grace that we are allowed to sin, but rather it should be because of that sufficient grace that we no longer sin, that we turn away from sin. That gift of grace is so good for us that we need to leave our life of sin and cling more closely to God. Now, it's hard to get it out of our heads that the greater sinners among us have the most to be thankful for. That somehow the worst life someone has lived, or the worst sinner they have been, that they are more blessed or have received a greater dose of grace, and that somehow they have more to be thankful for. In other words, someone who has been a good person all of their life has less to be thankful for than someone who has been a worldly person all of their life. And I'll give you an example. If I told you a very sad story about my life that was filled with suffering and neglect and sin, you might be tempted to say that I had a lot to be thankful for. If you heard my story, you might say to yourself, that guy was really, really lost. He was far from God. His life was without purpose. He had less of a wisp of a hope of going anywhere except down. If I told you that I came from a broken home, if I told you that my mother had me when she was just a teenager, that my biological father did not want us, if I told you that my stepfather was a serious alcoholic, that he abused me severely, if I told you that the state eventually took me out of my home and that I bounced around from place to place, few that ever wanted me, until finally I was institutionalized in an orphanage, if I told you that when I was 12, I was arrested for the first time for shoplifting, that when I was 14, I'd become addicted to alcohol, that by the time I was 16, I had already spent time in jail, detention for public intoxication, that I was heavily involved in pornography, and that my addictions were beginning to spin out of control. If I told you that, you would begin to think this person was really, really lost. If I told you by the time I was 18, my life was spiraling out of control through a series of bad relationships and bad decisions, I was stealing from others in order to feed my addictions, you might have looked at me and said that when I was 18, I was completely and utterly doomed. I was without Christ. I was living totally in the world. My soul had been wasted. You might have wanted to reach out to me. You might have wanted to try and rescue me, because you would see now there is someone who really needs the salvation that God offers through Jesus Christ. You might look at that person and you might say, wow, look at what's happened to him today. Now you see him. You see him standing behind the pulpit delivering God's message. There's a person who has something to rejoice about. But if I told you that story, I'd be a liar. Not to downplay any of you who have had a hard life, but the truth is that I had a wonderful childhood. The truth is that I was born into a wonderful home with godly parents who raised me in the church. The truth is that my father is an elder in the church in my hometown in Texas. The truth is that by the time I was 12, I was leading devotionals and songs in the congregation. By the time I was 16, I was a veteran of many Vacation Bible School mission trips. But the truth is that by the time I was 18, I was lost. I was completely and utterly doomed. My life had no purpose. I had not the faintest whiff of a hope of salvation, with nowhere to go but down. And if you had seen me when I was 18, you would not have tried to reach out to me, because I was sitting right there with you. I knew all the scriptures. I knew all the words to the songs. I knew all the answers. But I desperately needed to be saved. That salvation still was not part of me. All of us, especially me, are lost if we are not in Christ Jesus. Because in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, including me, though I was raised in the church. And in chapter 6, verse 23, the wages of sin is death. And I had sin in my life. It did not matter that I was not a bad person. I was still lost. The outward appearance of righteousness that I may have portrayed as a young man at the age of 18 did not change the fact that I was a whitewashed tomb. I was full of sin and decay. I was self-absorbed, self-loathing, and seeking to save myself. Now, I was not a bad person. In fact, I was a good kid. I was not involved in criminal activity. I was not a part of the worldliness that most of my high school friends were involved in. I never hurt anybody. But sin was in my life, and I was lost. Had I not returned to God and repented of my sins and put Christ on in baptism, baptized for the right reasons, then I would have been lost. But now, this is a happy story. This is a joyful message. Okay? In Romans chapter 6, verse 17, we read about how we have been blessed. Romans 6, 17. But God be thanked, that yo, you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. But God be thanked that though I was a slave to sin, yet I obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which I was delivered. Because you see, even though I was raised beside God, I had never gotten inside of God. I had heard all the sermons. I had heard all the Bible classes. I knew the stories. But without a real faith in Jesus Christ, a faith that was not my parents' faith, I was just as lost, just as doomed, just as condemned as all the murderers or prostitutes or drug addicts or whatever label you want to give to the worst sinners among us. I was just as lost. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But that changed. Finally, the message of the gospel sank into me. Finally, I saw that I could not do it on my own. Finally, I saw that I could not obtain salvation without a real relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I did nothing to deserve the grace that I received, but without that grace, no matter how good a life I lived, I was still lost. And so all of us who are outside of this grace of God, we are not righteous. We are not yet justified. It is only through Christ that we receive that. Now let's look at Romans chapter 3, verse 21 through 24. We'll read this again. Romans 3, 21 through 24. This is a good news message today. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by His blood. And so to all and on all who believe. You see, we cannot out-sin God's grace. Now, the amazing thing isn't that all humanity has sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The amazing thing isn't that all are without righteousness on their own. The amazing thing isn't that all of humanity can do nothing to earn or work its way out of salvation. The amazing thing is that salvation has been offered to all humanity. You and I and the worst among us. Let's look at Romans chapter 4, verse 7 through 8. Romans 4, 7 through 8. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin. Amen for that, right? We're blessed because God will not impute our sins against us, those of us who have joined Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection through baptism. It's a wonderful thing to know that my sins will not be counted against me. For even though I was not a bad person per se, I was completely and totally lost. Now we read in our scripture reading that Mogens brought for us today in Romans chapter 5, verse 6 through 11, that Christ died for us while we were still separated from God, while we were still in our sin, but that we can rejoice now because of our reconciliation with God. So now here's why I'm telling you this. So pay attention, because this is point number one. Some of you are lost. Some of you are lost. Now, I'm not pointing out any one particular person. I'm not making a judgment of anyone in particular. I was very careful not to look in any one person's eyes while I was saying that. But some of you are lost. Some of you were like I was, a whitewashed tomb, sparkling and godly on the outside, but sinful and decaying on the inside. Because some of you have never repented of your sins and put Christ on in baptism. I'm not judging anyone in particular, but I know I can say that for several reasons. First of all, the Scriptures tell us that some of you are lost. Second of all, the Lord put these words on my heart to tell you today, so I know that some of you need to hear them. And finally, in a group this size, a diverse group of people, there is bound to be those who have not yet heeded the gospel call. Now let's look at Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 11, and we'll see about what we need to do about that. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 through 11. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as by Christ, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old body was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. Now this is an amen, hallelujah message. It's available to all of us who put Christ on in baptism. No longer will we be slaves to sin. We'll be free from sin and death, free from ourselves, free from the corruption of the world, to live eternal life resurrected with Jesus Christ, one with Him for all eternity. That's good news. The message of Romans is one of power, it's one of victory, it's one of overcoming, it's one of great joy. But if you need a little bit of fear to motivate you, just a little bit, then let's read the same passage in the negative. Okay? Let's read the same passage in the negative. Follow along with me. Or do you not know that as many of us as were not baptized into Christ Jesus were not baptized into His death? Therefore we were not buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should not walk in newness of life. For if we have not been united together in the likeness of His death, certainly we also shall not be in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that the body of sin is not done away with, that we should continue to be a slave of sin. When you read that passage that way, You get an idea of what it feels like to stand out in the cold and the dark where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. You get an idea to stand on the other side of the chasm of eternity and look into glory and see the joy that other people who've been baptized are enjoying. When you read that passage in negative, you can feel the cold, rough shackles of sin still on your wrists. I hope that motivates you. This is a joyful message for those of us who have put Christ on in baptism. And it is the death knell of doom to those who have not. It doesn't have to be. This is a good news message. There's joy in redemption. Paul says in chapter 8, verse 1, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. No condemnation. There's joy. There's hope. Better than a wisp of a hope. We have a solid, firm foundation of a hope. That we are saved. That we are free from sin. We will be resurrected with Jesus Christ. And amen for that. My second admonition for you today. And this is important, so pay attention. All of you know someone who is lost. You may have already put Christ on in baptism, and I pray that you have, but every day you will encounter someone who has not, whether it's a family member or a friend. Someone you know is still in that sinful state, condemned in their worldliness, condemned without the righteousness of God. So the question is, what are you going to do about it? Let's look at Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, amen for that. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not maybe, not hopefully, not possibly, shall be saved. We have that hope, we have that assurance in our Lord. How then shall they call on Him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. If you want to have pretty feet, just go tell someone about Jesus. Now, we're not all talented. We don't all have that skill to go out and share. If you don't feel comfortable in doing that, then by all means, take someone else with you. But all of you know someone who needs Jesus. Now, let me confess to you something. I struggle with this personally. It may be hard for you to understand, because I've heard that public speaking is one of the greatest fears that people have. But it is much easier for me to stand in front of a crowd and preach the gospel than it is for me to give that same gospel to one person one-on-one. I struggle with that. I really do. I have a hard time doing that. I have been praying a lot lately to get better at that. I pray that God makes me a contender for the faith. And I teach these Bible classes, these mission trips that I've been on, several of them. I'll be going to Samoa in June, because during the day we do one-on-one Bible studies, and it gives me experience doing that, and I get better at it the more I do it. But I struggle with it. I would much rather give a sermon than to approach somebody and say, hey, would you like to have a Bible study? I would much rather do that. Now, I have offered to study the gospel with others. And I tell you that I have been laughed at. I've had someone laugh me in my face. I had someone get very angry at me for bringing up religion at all. But I've also had the privilege and honor of baptizing one of my very good friends for the remission of his sins. And we're going to be together for all eternity. And that is worth it, all the laughing that I got. That's worth it. And I give God all the glory, because it wasn't me. I was just a vessel for his cause. But I know it's not easy. I know it's not easy. And our excuse is that we don't want to make other people uncomfortable. You know, we don't want to make other people uncomfortable. But there's nothing more uncomfortable than a lake of fire or being in outer darkness for eternity. And we use the excuse, I don't want to damage my relationship with somebody. You know, I might have to see them at work. I might make the family reunions a little bit uncomfortable. But nothing will damage a relationship like being separated from them for all eternity. And besides, think about it. Isn't it the worst form of betrayal if you know the way of salvation and yet you never share that with your friend? This is a really good news message for us. It's an amen, hallelujah message that Christ has died for us, that we have grace freely available to all who believe. We only have to accept it. We need to be bold about sharing that with others. And if you can lead just one soul to salvation, that will surely make all the discomfort you might encounter more than worth it. Okay, here's my last point, so listen up. Some of you may have been saved, but you have become lost again. Some of you may have been saved, but you have wandered from the faith. And that's a difficult thing to get out of God's grace. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 38 through 39. Romans 8, 38 through 39. You know, sometimes we hear these same scriptures over and over and over so much, they become trite to us. They become like cliches. We need to be very careful because there's a great deal of power in these two verses. Romans 8, 38 through 39. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. God holds us tightly in His hands. So, brothers and sisters, the truth is that you don't fall from grace. You put your hands together, you look directly to sin, and you jump. Because God is not going to let you go. You decide to go on your own. You walk right out of there. You leave of your own volition. You turn your back on God, and you go back into the sinfulness that God plucked you out of by your own choice. God's not going to let you go. You decide to turn away from God. Rocky said I could preach for an hour, and I probably could have, but I'm already getting close to being done. So here, let me wrap this up for you. Some of you are lost. That's a righteous judgment. Some of you know people who are lost. And some of you were once saved, and you become lost again. So in other words, some of you need salvation. Some of you need salvation to give to others, and some of you need that salvation again. And I'm here to tell you that fortunately for all of us, that salvation is free and available. It's available today, and it's available right now. And it's available through the grace of our God, through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the message of Romans is overwhelmingly positive and joyful. It's a message of hope. It's a good news blessing that salvation is free. The debt of sin was paid by Jesus Christ on our behalf. Paid in full and paid up front. And we have been made more than conquerors. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. And let me tell you something. If you've not been saved, if you need to come back to God, this is the truth, so pay attention. The only thing between you and salvation is yourself. The only thing between you and salvation is yourself. You are the only one holding you back. God is standing there with His arms wide open. Let us all live for that day when we can embrace our Savior and weep tears of joy and relief with Him while He whispers in our ear, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." That invitation is open to you today. If you want to put Christ on in baptism, I encourage you to make today the first day of the rest of your life. If you need to come back to Christ and repent of your sins and ask the prayers of the church, whatever your need today, brothers and sisters, please come forward while we stand together and sing our invitation.